pretty soon it's going to be St. Patrick's Day. It's going to be a good day of celebration, good drinks, good food, and good celebration, along with good beer and good whiskey. To go along with celebrations from St. Patrick's Day here in Bruceild, it's going to be a special edition of Barrel Age Mysteries, in where I'll be talking about the case of the missing Irish Crown Jewels. So grab a beer or a whiskey and tune in. But first, let us begin. Cheers, everyone. Welcome to Bruceild. I'm your host, Brandon, and for this edition of Bruceild, it's going to be another edition of Barrel-Aged Mysteries, here on the Bruceild Podcast, where I talk about a mystery that's over 30 years old while pairing it with a barrel-aged beverage. For this edition of Barrel-Aged Mysteries, here on the Bruceild Podcast, I'll be talking about the mystery surrounding the mystery of the Irish Crown Jewels. Before we get into our mystery, though, for the Irish Crown Jewels, let's talk about the beer pairing for this edition of Bruceild and for Barrel-Aged Mysteries. Our beer pairing for this edition of Barrel Age Mysteries comes from Cascade Brewing Barrel House in Portland, Oregon, and this beer is called Ghost Roselle. This ghost-style ale was aged in oak barrels for up to 10 months before being infused with Roselle Hibiscus. It contains a fresh Meyer lemon zest with ground coriander and Oregon Coast sea salt. This sour beer has a great combination of lemon and salt in the flavor, making for a very nice, sharp, sour ale that goes well in a goblet glass. This sour ale comes in a bright red color with a nearly crystal clear body and a head on top with a nice frozy pink foam. The ABV is 5% and it comes in a 12 ounce can. It's definitely a good product from Cascade Brewing Barrel House and also a good product from the Portland, Oregon beer scene. And that beer is called Ghost Roselle, a nice barrel aged sour beer you'll definitely want to have on a nice spring day or while enjoying a nice mystery. So let's go and talk about the barrel aged mystery of the Irish Crown Jewels, a mystery that remains to this very day. The origin of Irish Crown Jewels goes back to 1831 when King William IV presented the Irish Crown Jewels for use by the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland. The presentation of the jewels was part of a gift to the Order of St. Patrick. The jewels were delivered from London to Dublin, Ireland on March 15th by the 18th Earl of Enroll. They came together in a box with a document confirming their name and were their gift from King William IV to be used by the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland. The Irish Crown Jewels contained 394 precious stones taken from the English Crown Jewels from Queen Charlotte and Dora de Bath Star of her husband George III. For part of the Irish Crown Jewels was a badge for the Order of St. Patrick, which came with a blue enamel. There was a green shamrock that was made of emeralds with a red St. Patrick saltire rubies. The motto of the order was in pink diamonds, and there's also Brazilian diamonds included as well. Unlike its counterparts with the Crown Jewels of the United Kingdom, the Irish Crown Jewels were not affiliated with any monarchy, and instead affiliated with what was created for the sovereign and a Grand Master of the Order of St. Patrick, and Order of Knighthood that was established in 1783 by George III as King of Ireland to be the Irish equivalent to the English Order of the Garter and the Scottish Order of the Thistle. They were known to be worn by several notable figures, such as Joseph Gordon Campbell, Earl of Aberdeen, who served as Ireland's British representative in Ireland. For their own security and protection, the Irish Crown Jewels were kept in Bedford Tower until their mysterious disappearance. This was also located for the Office of Arms, which is also used for genealogy and other purposes, along with safekeeping and caring for state ceremonial objects. When the Irish Crown Jewels were not worn, they were kept under the protection of the Ulster King of Arms and were kept in a bank vault inside Bedford Tower. There was also a security detail for the Irish Crown Jewels, who was led by a man named Sir Arthur Vicars. Upon the arrival of the Irish Crown Jewels into Bedford Tower, the safe containing the Irish Crown Jewels was placed into Vicar's own personal library, as the safe was too big for its designated room. For the room that contained the safe that contained the Irish Crown Jewels, it was said this room was also very secure and safe for the jewels for their own security. But later, several security loopholes were discovered that might have played a role in the mysterious vanishing of the Irish Crown Jewels. For the security issues, there were reports of unlocked doors at Bedford Tower, as some doors of Bedford Tower were often found opened. A week prior to the theft of the Crown Jewels, several security breaches had also been reported and ignored, including misplaced keys, which also includes the room containing the Irish Crown Jewels being opened. Could it be that the thieves themselves were just testing the waters before the actual theft? One would definitely assume that Vicars was the best guy to be the security of the Irish Crown Jewels, but there were also issues with Vicars himself that might have played a role in the theft of the Irish Crown Jewels, and also placed him under suspicion after their theft. Vicars was known to get drunk on his overnight duties, and he once woke up one morning to find the Irish Crown Jewels around his neck. Today it is not known whether this was a prank or a practice for the actual theft of the jewels. The jewels were last worn by the 7th Earl of Aberdeen on March 15, 1907, for a ceremony to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. They were then known to be placed back in their safe on June 11th. But also on the same night, Vicars was said to have showed the jewels to an unknown visitor at his office. Could this be that his unknown visitor was the actual thief? Was the thief maybe in collusion with Vicars himself? The story of the Irish Crown Jewels changed on the morning of July 6, 1907, in where a staff member assigned to Bedford Tower found the door to the safe wide open. Upon further observation, the staff member noticed that the inner security door was bolted, but the keys, which also opened the library, had been left in the lock. At first, Vicars was not alarmed. It wasn't until later that afternoon when Vicars sent a message to a staff member working at the library to deposit an item into the safe. It was discovered that the safe had been emptied and the Irish Crown Jewels were missing. The jewels vanished just 4 days before a visit from King Edward IV and Queen Alexandria, who were expected to arrive for the Irish International Exhibition, at which it was planned to induct Bernard Fitzpatrick, who at the time was the second Baron of Castletown, into the order. It was said that King Edward IV was furious about the theft, and the ceremony was cancelled due to the result of the theft of the Irish Crown Jewels. The Dublin Metropolitan Police performed a full-scale investigation into the theft. Despite their efforts, though, they were unable to generate any leads, and no immediate suspects emerged. As a result, the crime was never solved, the jewels were never found, and there was also suspicion it might have been an inside job. Given the suspicion of inside job, amongst the first suspects was Arthur Vicars himself, given his position and his immediate access to the safe. Vicars denied he committed the theft, and no hard evidence was found against him linking him to the theft of the Irish Crown Jewels. Despite this, though, Vicars was still fired from his position based on orders from King Edward. In 1921, Vicars was then killed by members of the Irish Republican Army for being a royal informant. His assistant, Pierce Mahoney, was also seen as a possible suspect, but most never saw him as a culprit. Mahoney would also meet an unfortunate end, in where he was also killed in 1914 in an accidental shooting. There were additional suspects that also included Vicars' second-in-command at the castle, who was a man by the name of Francis Shackleton. Shackleton was accused by several people, including Vicars himself, and is the man who, to this day, many believe is a primary suspect who stole the Irish Crown Jewels, despite no hard evidence. Now, there was an article from 1968 that did suggest that Shackleton, in collusion with Captain Richard Gerges, stole Vicars' keys one night after Vicars got drunk and then removed the jewels and afterwards returned the keys as if nothing had occurred. Shackleton did go to jail, though, in the future after being convicted of bank fraud in 1913. He was then released several years later, and after his release, he changed his name and disappeared without a trace, never to be seen again. There was one final suspect who came to light many years later after the theft, which was a man by the name of Francis Bennett Goldney. Goldney did serve in a junior position to the Ulster King of Arms just a few months before the theft of the Irish Crown Jewels. Although he had an opportunity to steal the jewels, he did indeed lack a motive to do so. He died in 1918 in a car accident in France. After his death, it was discovered he had a treasure trove of stolen items in his home. Despite this discovery, there was no evidence that would connect him to the theft of the Crown Jewels. Over the passage of time, all interest into the theft of the Irish Crown Jewels began to fade, and the investigation then stopped with no explanation. There was one theory that the investigation was stopped in order to prevent a bigger scandal from being revealed. For this scandal, it was believed there was a scandal brewing that involved suspicious and nefarious activity along with corruption at Dublin Castle that might have involved King Edward IV, who then halted the investigation to prevent the scandal from being made public. As for the Irish Crown Jewels, they were never found, and they remain missing to this very day. For the vanishing of the Irish Crown Jewels, there were some theories pointed out to what might have happened to the Irish Crown Jewels after they were stolen and also vanished. Some theories do point out they might have been stolen and later broken down and made into jewelry and sold on the open market. If that is the case, there is no hope of their recovery. For another theory, it is pointed out they might have been stolen by the Irish Republican Army and later smuggled to the United States. But if the Irish Republican Army did actually steal the Irish Crown Jewels and later smuggle them to the U.S. Was it possible they're in collusion with someone in the U.S. who probably hired the Irish Republican Army to steal the Irish crown jewels to be later smuggled to the U.S. to be made into jewelry or also be placed into someone's own private collection? It's definitely a very intriguing theory to think about, but also one I definitely do not find believable, as I definitely do not see the Irish Republican Army stealing them only to be smuggled back to the U.S. Even though the Irish Republican Army definitely would have a motive to steal the Irish crown jewels, but I just don't see them smuggling them to the United States. But this theory also does sound very intriguing. There is also another theory that might have been stolen by the British royal family and kept in a vault to this very day, being kept secret from the world. Regarding the circumstances of just how the Irish crown jewels were stolen, that theory most likely also remained a mystery, but it most likely was done by the inside job. But who on the inside stole the Irish crown jewels, and who were they working for, and where did they take the Irish crown jewels afterwards? Back then, things were a lot different. There were no security cameras, no alarm systems, no phones, and the police did not have the technology they have now for solving crimes. So the Irish crown jewels and her theft most likely was done in a very easy fashion, but also very calculated, as definitely had it been stolen by someone with knowledge on the inside, and just exactly where they were stored, and how to get there and get there quickly. For one thing about this story that really does intrigue me is their security guy, Vickers, who is also one of the suspects, who was also an informant for the British, which is why he was killed by the Irish Republican Army. Could it be possible that Vickers was the guy that stole the jewels in this inside job, later getting them back to the United Kingdom? That there's a story and a theory that definitely, in my view, could definitely be worthy of more exploration, but right now, given so much time that has passed, the lack of resources, no longer any living witnesses, we just will never know if he was the guy that stole the Irish crown jewels, and if he indeed passed them on back to the British, whose also ties with Ireland also are not very positive. So maybe something happened between Ireland and England, which might have led to the theft of Irish crown jewels. It's definitely a theory we can speculate about, but also not find any solid evidence to support it. But right now we just don't know what happened to Irish crown jewels, and most likely it'll definitely remain a mystery forever in the realms of time. That there is the mystery of the Irish crown jewels, a tantalizing mystery that is indeed barrel-aged. Until next time, that should do it for me on this edition of Bruce Stilled, Barrel-Aged Mysteries. Please do tell your friends and family about this podcast, and please rate this podcast in your desired podcast directory, as feedback is always appreciated. Please do stay tuned for future editions of Barrel-Aged Mysteries, further coverage of the NFL offseason, TV show recaps, along with guest interviews, with drink pairings included. In the meantime, do enjoy some good craft beer, bourbon, whiskey. I'm your host Brandon, thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next time. Until then, be brewed and be distilled, folks. Cheers.